morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Rules are more likely to be followed if they are clear and well understood. Rules are more likely to be supported if the people who must follow them agree they are needed and they are lawful. And rules are more likely to achieve their purpose if they meet the prior criteria. People support them and can follow them. That three-legged stool of good rulemaking is represented by the new Navigable Waters Protection Rule issued January 23rd by the Environmental Protection Agency and U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. The new clear definition of waters of the United States for purposes of regulatory jurisdiction under the Clean Water Act will end decades of confusion and litigation over which part of a farmer's land require federal permission to farm. Let's take a look at the first leg of the stool. Clear and easy to understand. The new rule clearly establishes four categories of water or land that are regulated at the federal level. Equally important, it clarifies the categories that are not waters of the U.S., such as areas of a field that hold water only after a heavy rain. Wetlands converted to farmland decades ago are excluded. Most upland ditches are excluded. Adjacent wetlands covered under the new rule are clearly defined to be directly abutting or connecting to jurisdictional waters. The line between what's in and what's out are clear enough that a farmer doesn't have to hire a team of engineers and lawyers to find out if the land can be farmed. That's a big improvement over the 2015 Waters of the U.S. rule, which gave federal agencies too much leeway to declare almost any area of a farmer's land a water of the U.S., even if it was far away from navigable waters. I've always said that anyone ought to be able to look out on a field and easily see which parts of the land are regulated by the federal government and which areas are not. Second, the rule is supported by the people who are most directly affected, farmers and ranchers and other landowners. Clean water is a priority for farmers. We know that a new rule is needed both to protect water quality and to provide certainty for landowners. Without this rule, it's nearly impossible for a landowner to know which parts of the land are considered WOTUS. In fact, Farm Bureau for years has been calling for federal agencies to issue a rule that provides clarity and predictability. We've called for a rule that aligns with the Clean Water Act and with the direction given by the Supreme Court. What we could not support is a rule like the now-repealed 2015 rule that would create more confusion, risk, and bureaucracy for the people who grow our food. Finally, this new rule will effectively protect clean water. If your arm is broken, the doctor doesn't put a cast on your leg, but that's just about what would have happened under the 2015 WOTUS rule. Instead of focusing on navigable waters and those waters with a direct connection to navigable waters, the 2015 rule was aimed squarely at controlling what farmers and others could do on land miles away. It was a federal land grab, plain and simple. The Trump administration's new navigable waters protection rule focuses the treatment where it is needed, a large reason why we believe it will achieve its purpose of enhancing water quality. There's been a lot of misinformation in the news media about the new rule. It doesn't roll back anything. It provides more effective water protection with clear lines of authority to make those protections work. And it rightly asks the states to do their part with the cooperative federalism envisioned by Congress when it passed the Clean Water Act. Farm Bureau members have worked long and hard for this rule, and we would not have it without their dedicated advocacy efforts. Rather than taking a victory lap, we should celebrate this win by correcting misinformation about the new rule and letting our government officials know that we support it. The Navigable Waters Protection Rule is clear, supported by the people it regulates, and designed to achieve its purpose, the three-legged stool of good rulemaking. The Agriculture Department's most recent farm income forecast, released February 5th, predicted farm income to decline in 2020. USDA's farm income forecast also predicted farm income to increase in 2020. Yes, that's right. USDA is projecting farm income in 2020 to both rise and fall. U.S. net farm income, a broad measure of farm profitability, is currently forecast at $96.7 billion, up 3.3%, or $3.1 billion from the prior year. If realized, net farm income in 2020 would represent the fourth consecutive year of higher net farm income and would be 55% higher than the decade low of $62 billion in 2016. However, it would remain 22% below 2013's high and would be only slightly higher than the 20-year inflation-adjusted average of $93 billion. U.S. net cash income, which does not include adjustments such as depreciation, non-money income related to farm-level consumption of the farm's own production or inventory adjustments that transfer the value of inventory across tax years, is currently forecast at $109.5 billion, down 9% or $10.9 billion from 2019. For farmers with base acres and eligibility to participate in Title I Commodity Safety Net programs, the deadline for election and enrollment of covered commodities such as corn, soybeans, wheat, seed cotton, rice, and peanuts into agriculture risk coverage or price loss coverage is quickly approaching. The cutoff date for completing the program election and enrollment process for the 2019 crop year is March 16th, and the closing date for the 2020 crop year is June 30th. A producer can sign up for both crop years ahead of the March 16th deadline. Farmers enrolling in ARC or PLC must make a one-time election on a commodity-by-commodity basis in either ARC County option or PLC, or they may enroll all covered commodities in ARC individual coverage. Farmers choosing to enroll commodities in PLC may also purchase additional shallow loss coverage through the Risk Management Agency's Supplemental Coverage Option Program. The Agriculture Department recently released its biannual U.S. cattle inventory report showing U.S. cattle totals as of January 1st. The report provides inventory data for the nation's cattle herd, including estimates of the number of breeding animals for beef and milk production, as well as the number of heifers being held for breeding herd replacement. This important report identifies beef and milk cow herd trends, helping the cattle industry evaluate the amount of product moving to market. January's cattle inventory report marks the first year-over-year January decline in cattle numbers since 2014, the beginning of the current cattle cycle, and provides somewhat bullish news for cattle prices. From 2014 to 2020, the herd grew by more than 6.5 million head, an increase of approximately 7.4%. Applications are now available for nurse practitioner scholarships through the Illinois Farm Bureau Rural Nurse Practitioner Scholarship Program. There will be 10 scholarships worth $4,000 each granted this year. The scholarship program, now in its 28th year, helps encourage and develop the pool of rural health practitioners to help meet primary health care needs in rural Illinois. Students who receive scholarships agree to practice for 2 years in an approved rural area in Illinois. To be eligible for the scholarship, students must be Illinois residents and be a registered nurse accepted or enrolled in an accredited nurse practitioner program. Funding is provided by the Rural Illinois Medical Student Assistance Program. Applications are available at the County Farm Bureau throughout the state, on the Rural Illinois Medical Student Assistance Program website at rimsap.com, or by contacting Donna Gallivan, Program Manager at the Illinois Farm Bureau. Applications are due May 1st. The Macoupin County Agriculture Education Foundation is offering a $1,500, a $1,000, and $7,500 scholarships for the upcoming school years to students wishing to pursue agriculture majors. The foundation offers the scholarships to provide encouragement and financial assistance to Macoupin County residents and/or students of Macoupin County schools who display well-balanced attributes of good citizenship, commitment to activities, and scholastic ability. The applicant must be a graduating high school senior or a current college student who plans to attend or is attending an Illinois junior college, college, university, or career technical education program and majoring in agriculture. Applications are available through your high school guidance counselor, high school agriculture instructor, or the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. An electronic copy of the application can be requested by contacting the Farm Bureau office by telephone or by email at mcfb@frontiernet.net. All applications must be submitted to the Farm Bureau office by March 27th. Questions about the program can be directed to the Farm Bureau office at 217-854-2571. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.